Hello, hello, and welcome to The Fierce Life with me, your host, Conceita Thomas. I'm so excited to get into today's episode, which I hope is going to be a short, punchy, but yet impactful one. It's how to get unstuck with your weight loss without counting calories. If you hear a little thunder and a little drizzle drizzle in the background, no, this is not the quiet storm on your favorite local radio station, but I am recording on a stormy night. There's nowhere I can go where you won't be able to hear at least some of this. So just bear with me because what I have to share is worth it. Go ahead, grab your beverage, a pen and paper, jam out to the show tunes, then meet me on the other side of the music. Welcome to The Fierce Life, presented by Conceita Thomas. This podcast is designed to give you the food and fitness strategies, tools, and inspiration that you need to create sustainable results without making the process a second job. You will save the mental and emotional energy that's normally drained by this process, and instead use that energy to live your most fierce life. Hello, welcome back to the show. This is episode 122, how to get unstuck with your weight loss without counting calories. Have you broken up with counting calories? Does the thought of opening a food tracking app just like send you to a place that you don't want to go? But do you still want to lose weight and keep it off? Have you given it your best try? Have you done all the things you already know to do? You're eating protein, you're paying attention to your starch portions, you're creating figure-friendly meals, balanced meals that are designed to help you lose weight. And maybe you've even gotten some results already, but things have stopped and they're just, it's not going. You're doing the things you know to do and you're not getting results. And you are like, Conceita, I really don't want to count calories, but I've already done the things I know to do and it's not working. Is it my thyroid? Is it my metabolism? Is it my hormones? What should I do? Have you seen this before? The answer is yes, I have seen it before. It's probably not your thyroid, your hormones, or your metabolism, especially if you feel pretty healthy. You're not like tired all the time. You don't, you know, hair's not falling out. You're not cold when you shouldn't be cold. If you don't have any of that going on, then it's probably what I'm going to share with you in this episode. I've got three things for you to take a look at and or to try if you're like, Conceita, I'm doing the things, but I'm stuck. And girl, I really don't want to count calories. All right, so before we get into the list of things, I have to first say this. You don't have to count calories, but you do know the calories count, whether or not you are counting them. So if you are feeling stuck with your weight loss, you're doing all that you know to do, and the weight is just not coming off, then, and you don't want to count calories, then what that means is we've got to figure out where the extra calories are coming in, why it is that you're not in a deficit, because if you're not losing weight, you're not in a deficit, okay? And we can strategically do a few things to help remedy that without you having to like weigh, measure, open your phone every single time you eat and track things. The first one, I'm just gonna say this disclaimer, okay? All this stuff is simple, but you're not gonna wanna hear this and you're gonna roll your eyes and you might be a little bit mad at me and you may be like, how does she even know? That can't be right. But if you're having that reaction, I'm probably talking to you. All right, let's go. Number one. Cut out bites, licks, and taste. Friend, if you have 3 to 4 spoonfuls of each dish you're cooking when you're preparing dinner at night, you probably have eaten at least 25% of what you were going to serve yourself at dinner, even though it doesn't feel like it. If every time someone in your house is eating something, they say, oh, you want a bite? You want to taste it? And you say yes, and you don't adjust the rest of your meals to account for that, then you're probably getting more calories than you need. So bites, licks, and tastes add up to so much. I'm telling you, I've discovered this in my own life, and I've discovered it with countless clients. We Easily, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm being modest in my estimates. We easily eat 400 calories, 500, 600 calories per day that go under our radar, that go unnoticed. Again, it's that few tastes or licks of whatever it is that we're eating. It's when we are, oh my gosh, it's when we are maybe making a baked dish, right? And you know the batter, and you're putting everything into the little muffin cups or the cake pan, and then you lick the spoon and the beaters with all the butter and the sugar and the eggs, right? When you're clearing off the table at night or after lunch, and your kids left some French fries, or you're cleaning out their lunch box and they left some goldfish, and all that stuff goes in your mouth easily. Easily 400, 500, 600 calories. And that's a day. So if you think about that, let's just pick the middle number. If that's 500 calories and that's happening 7 days a week, that's the energetic equivalent of 1 pound per week. I'm not saying you're gaining 1 pound per week, but I'm saying if you're doing other things to create a caloric deficit and you're working to create a deficit where you could hopefully lose 1 pound to 2 pounds a week, but you're doing these other things, the bites, licks, and tastes, and not realizing that you're accumulating the energetic equivalent of 1 pound a week, then what's happening is either you're staying the same or you're losing at a very, very slow rate that does not feel like a match for the effort that you're putting in. And I'm telling you right now, it's the bites, licks, and tastes that are taking you out. Hey, friend, real quick, if you've ever wished that you could lose 3 to 10 pounds in 1 month while sidestepping the hunger and cravings that usually come along with eating for weight loss and also gaining knowledge and practice to create the eating foundation that you need in order to lose 30 plus pounds and keep it off this year through busy seasons, vacations, and holidays, then I've got something for you. Head over to ConcetaThomas.com/foundation, add your name to the wait list for Figure Friendly Eating Foundation, which is my newest 4-week group coaching program. Listen, I created this program because I talk to women every week who tell me that they wish that they could just be normal around food and still lose weight and keep it off. Many of them, maybe like you, have dabbled in advanced dieting strategies. You know the stuff, carb cycling, macro counting, intermittent fasting, all of it. But they don't have the handle on the basics that they really need in order to get the weight to come off and to be able to navigate all of life's busy seasons. And this program is my answer to that desire for those women. So if you are one of them, again, head over to ConcetaThomas.com/foundation, add your name to the wait list. When you do, you will get a chance to win free enrollment the next time enrollment opens. Immediately, you'll get a mini nutrition lesson that you can start to use right away. And you'll get exclusive bonuses and first dibs on the limited spots when the program opens. Again, head over to ConcetaThomas.com/foundation. The second thing that you can do to get unstuck with your weight loss without counting calories is to get control of your weekend eating. I told you you were not going to be happy with me with this episode, but can I tell you that one of the easiest ways that you can kind of know if this is happening with you is if you are keeping a food journal, but for some reason you never seem to be able to track on the weekend. It's just like the weekends just escape you. Now, I'm not insinuating that you're purposely not writing it down because it's not in alignment, but if you're someone who writes down your food and you're someone who tracks and just it just never seems to happen on the weekend, that is a sign that you are checking out mentally with your eating. And that's probably why you're not writing it down. But the checking out also means you're probably eating more than you realize. So it's the snacking in the car while you're driving between activities for the kids. It's the, oh yeah, okay, I'll have one too in the driveway at Starbucks when the family stops to get something. All the things that you don't normally do on a weekday, but that you're doing on the weekend, much like the bites, licks, and taste, that stuff is adding up. So even if you're someone who you eat your meals and your snacks and you're not biting, looking, and tasting in between meals and snacks. It may be that you have the deficit you think you have during the week, but you eradicate it on the weekend. Again, I've done this before. I've seen this with clients before. It's easy to be like eating at a deficit, like 1600, 1700 calories Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday be at somewhere like 2500 calories. Well, if you needed to be at 16 to 17 to have a deficit and you're 800 over 2 days in a row, if you spread that out over a week, you're not in a deficit anymore. You might be in caloric balance or you might be in a surplus and therefore gaining weight. So if you realize that I can't really recall what I eat on the weekends, or you know what, if I really think about it, whenever we're riding around going here or there and running errands, I am always munching. Or as I'm in and out of the grocery stores, Sam's Clubs and Costco's, I am always taking all the samples. As I'm walking through the food court in the mall, I'm always saying yes, okay to the samples, or grabbing a cup of Annie's pretzels, and maybe even I'm sharing them with the family. But if you're doing a lot of that, then cutting that out or getting it under control, being more intentional with your weekend eating, can help you get unstuck without counting calories. The third and final one, again, I feel like I'm going from bad to worse with things that you're going to not want to hear, but will absolutely make a difference, have made a difference for me and countless clients that I've worked with. Here it is. You ready? All right. Stick to a handful of go-to meals. I feel like I have to disclaimer this, and like I have to I have to overcome objections that I imagine could be coming up in your head as you listen to this, both from a personal preference standpoint and from a standpoint of things you may be seeing going across your social media feed. So I'm going to first explain what I mean by stick to a handful of go-to meals. Then I'm going to go into why it may be important and helpful. And then I'm going to go ahead and address objections that I just feel through the mic are probably coming up for you as you hear me say this. Okay, so what do I mean by stick to a handful of go-to meals? What I mean is, if you're in a weight loss phase, which is not the rest of your life, it could be helpful to have less variety during the weight loss phase. Why is that? If you are not counting calories, okay, so you're not counting calories, you're not weighing and measuring your meals, you are basically eyeballing it, right? You're saying, oh, I know I need about this much protein. I know that I can have about this much starch. I can, you know, add some fats to my meals, maybe about this much. And as long as I stay somewhere around here, that should put me in a gentle deficit and I should be losing. And you may know exactly what that looks like for a handful of meals. But if every single day it's something different in terms of what you're eating, it's just very easy to have a little bit more mayo, have a little bit more cheese, add a little bit more nuts to this, that, or the third, and not realize that you're not in a deficit anymore. Are you eating healthy, nutritious food? Yes. Are you in a deficit? No. And I'm not saying that variety in and of itself is bad, but what I'm saying is when you want to go with a more intuitive approach and you want weight loss, not weight maintenance, then reducing that variety makes it easier to know when you are deviating, right? So if I know that for breakfast, I have maybe these three different breakfasts that I rotate between, and I know for a fact that, you know, I can sprinkle this much cheese on like my egg white wrap or something like that. And I can have this kind of wrap and I'm good to go. And I've done that before. That's been my breakfast and I've lost weight successfully eating that. Then I know. So if all of a sudden I dump like a whole bunch of cheese on that, it's easy to know that I'm off track because it's something that I eat all the time. But if I'm going back and forth and today it's avocado toast and turkey bacon, and tomorrow it's an egg white wrap, and then another day it's a protein shake, and then another day it's this, and another day it's that, and I'm not tracking calories, then it's a lot more room for error. So when I say stick to a handful of go-to meals, I mean have maybe three meals for breakfast, 3 meals for lunch, 3 meals for dinner, and rotate between them. And bonus points for making sure that they are balanced and help you create a caloric deficit before they become your go-tos. And then you can kind of do it once, set it and forget it. You know that these are in a caloric range that are helpful for, that is helpful for you in terms of reaching your goal, and you don't have to think about it anymore. Okay, so that is what I mean. Why it's important is because reducing the variety gives you less room for error and less room to drift without even recognizing it. Now let's talk about some of the objections that may come up when you hear this. So first thing you may hear is, or the first thing you may feel is, oh my gosh, I can't eat the same thing every single day. I'm going to be so bored. I'm just going to end up overeating on snacks because I'm doing that. Notice, I did not say you get one meal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you have to repeat that forever. I said 3 meals. Now, there are only 7 days in a week. So if you literally, if you go A, B, C, A, B, C, A, the most you've had any one meal is 3 times. And the least, and otherwise, it's twice a week. And that's really not the same as eating the same thing every single day. And you can even choose, if you really, if that's still not enough variety, you can even choose to like season it differently, right? So what I mean by that is, let's say one of your meals is like ground turkey and some type of starch and vegetables. And you're like, Conceita, I can't just do like a Korean, I call it Korean beef bowl. It's a recipe in my book, but it's like ground meat, it's broccoli, and it's rice. I can't do that twice a week. Okay, well then how about you make Korean beef bowl once, and then how about you make like some type of taco salad next? So you still have ground meat, you know about how much you need, you have a vegetable, either broccoli or the salad, and you have a starch, either the rice or maybe tortilla chips inside of the taco salad. So if you really feel like I need even more variety than that, Conceita, that's what you can do. So if your objection is, I just can't eat the same thing every day, first thing, realize that it's not the same thing every day. And if you need more variety, maybe use the same foods, but prepare them differently so that there are different spices and different flavors if you need something completely different every single day. Now, the second objection that you may be having is, I know right now, just like walking is like all over social media feeds, everybody's now talking about the microbiome and flexible metabolism and eating a wide variety of foods to keep your metabolism flexible, to help you heal, XYZ, right? I'm not saying that in a dismissive way, like there's no validity to that. But what I am saying is, two things can be true and we can solve one problem at a time. Think of it this way. If you've got, let's say you've got 30 pounds to lose, and let's say that you spend 12 weeks in a serious weight loss phase where you're following this advice and you are picking, you know, 3 go-to meals for every single meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you're rotating between those. And in that 12 weeks, you drop 15, 18, I don't know, 20 pounds. And then you spend 4 to 8 weeks just maintaining it. And then you do that one more time and you finish. You will have spent maybe half a year losing the weight. You would also have spent part of that time eating a wide variety of foods to support your microbiome. And then with the weight off and with the habits of creating balanced meals and getting enough protein and getting enough vegetables, you can go and have eat all the variety you want for your microbiome and flexible metabolism and for any other reason, but you will be doing so with the weight loss goal already done. Like, that's one thing off your plate. So if you think about it, it's almost like projects at work. If you're taking on too many projects at once, you're not effective in any of them. If you focus and knock out one project, it frees up more mental energy and capacity to move on to the next project. And so if you were coming up with an objection, or not coming up, but you felt one coming up within you, that's what was coming up for you, then I want to tell you that there is a way around that. And the alternative is always, if you're like, no, Conceita, that's important for me to do right now, the alternative is always, okay, you can have endless variety, and If you feel stuck with your weight loss, we've already said it's because you're not getting a caloric deficit. So you can choose to count calories. Like, okay, you know what? I'm going to pay attention to my calories because it's very important to me to have a wide variety. But, and there's no way is better. You could do it either way. What I am presenting, however, here is a way to get unstuck. Sometimes we stand in our own way. I call it the multiple constraints trap, the MCT. We're like, no, I don't want to count calories, and I need endless variety, and it's got to be easy, and I don't want to cook it, and it needs to be, you know, and, right? And so we have so many constraints that we're stuck. We have no moves to make because every move is a forbidden one. So I just wanted to get ahead of that in case that was coming up for you. Fierce friend, that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope it's been a good one. I said it was going to be short and punchy, but I guess not so much. Your girl can go. And I'm just happy to be back here with you in a podcast where I can go deeper and really explain things and feel like we are sitting across from each other having a coffee. And I'm just like breaking it down for you. So that said, we always say around here, after you learn something, you have to do something. So your fierce follow through, should you choose to accept it, is to figure out which one of these do you need to do. Do you need to cut out your bites, looks, and tastes? Do you need to get control of your weekend eating? Or do you need to stick to a handful of go-to meals? Decide and then DM me over on Instagram to let me know. I put the link in the show description and show notes so that you could do that. Also, I would really appreciate a 5-star rating for the podcast. Ratings and reviews are really, really helpful. It tells the podcast platform that this is a podcast that is producing quality content and that you are getting something out of it. And then in turn, what happens is the podcast platform will show this podcast to more people like you who may also benefit from this information. And then finally, if you've listened this far and you've enjoyed it, go ahead, take a screenshot on your podcast player, tag me in it along with the biggest takeaway that you have gotten from this and share it in your stories on Instagram or on Facebook. Or if you're not willing to go public with our relationship yet, that's okay. I understand. Text it to a friend who you think would also benefit from this information. That's all I have for you today, fierce friend. Until next time, stay fierce.